Would open your Bible to Isaiah chapter 55. We're just looking at four verses today in a message I call White Christmas Love, I'm Dreaming. And if you want to take notes, there's a section in your bulletin, pull that out and start writing some things down. We've got some other scriptures we're going to be looking at here. But point number one is desire the gifts. Desire the gifts. Look at verse 6 with me of Isaiah chapter 55. He says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. This is one of the clearest, and this doesn't always happen, this is one of the clearest Old Testament invitations to salvation. And not just for then, but for kingdom blessing later. And it gives an example of how people were saved in the Old Testament period. The people that were saved in the Old Testament period were saved just like those saved in the New Testament. Salvation is by grace through faith. And it's available to the soul that was willing here. We see here him saying, seek the Lord. Look here at Deuteronomy 4:29. From there you will seek the Lord, your God, and you will find him if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul. Or 2 Chronicles 15 verse 4. But when in their distress they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, he was found by them. So he's saying, I want you to take the time and I want you to make the effort to seek the Lord. And maybe that's something to encourage you to this morning. Has that been a priority? We get busy, we get caught up in a bunch of different things. Are you seeking the Lord? Are you, and look at that in verse in chapter 55, verse 6 there. Seek the Lord while he may be found. And then with the, you know how like there's a parallelism a lot of times in poetry. There's a parallelism in prose, and the Hebrews are famous for this. They have something that looks the same twice. It says, seek the Lord, and then you look at the next section of verse 6 there, call upon him, and then the second half, while he may be found, or while he is near. And so out of that, I'm picking up that there are times, there sometimes may be this gap right there. And are you taking advantage of it? Or are you hardening your heart? And God is saying, I want you to seek me now. Don't play games. Seek me now. Call upon me now. Look at this. He says, call on him while he is near. Isaiah 65, verse 1. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great water... That's all right. I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here am I to a nation that was not called by my name. Psalm 32, 6 and 7. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Selah, which means think about that, meditate on that. Proverbs 8, verse 17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. And so he is saying, I want you to desire a relationship with me. I want you to desire the gift. I want you to, when you dream about, when you think about it, I want you, if you had a sheet of paper and all of these things were on there and God was represented there, that if you had a pen in hand and your parents said, what do you want out of all of this? The first thing that you'd circle would be that. And get me that, God. Don't get me that other thing that may have some sort of, I would think maybe that would make me just as happy. It won't make me as happy. I want that. Don't get me a substitute. I want that. And then to pursue that and to seek it and to call. And I like that he uses the word call. I think sometimes the word prayer can be scary. Prayer is so churchy sounding. It's not a bad word. But there's times where I don't know about you, but there's times I don't feel like praying. And I don't even think I deserve to talk to Him. Has anybody else felt that way? There's been times where you've done some stupid stuff. And you're like, and somebody comes out to you, well, you can pray. And in your mind, you've kind of made that a sanctified word. And it is a sanctified word. And so, but that kind of creates a wall where you go, I don't know if I can pray. Because you think that your prayer is dependent on your stuff. Instead, look at the word He uses. Look at the word He uses. Call. We can all do that. Isn't it? I mean, when you think, if somebody said, call me. What's your number? I can do that. We've even got kids that at times have saved their parents because they learned 911. They learned to make that call. And so simply God is saying, you want to be into me? Call on me. Seek me. It's that simple. Instead of making it this huge thing that I go, okay, I got to get my act completely together. He's not into that. Because guess what? You can't. And I can't. And the proof of that is, next section here. Next section. Point number two. Discard the old. So I get the gift. I got the gift. I may have something, a Bible. You know, so somewhat spiritual here. And I discard the old. I don't go, oh, that was good. Let's play with this. I mean, let's face it, isn't that childish? You get this thing for your kid, and it's got this huge box, and they get it all out, and the thing is amazing. This thing is amazing, and the kid's in the box, playing with the box. It's like, golly, I should have just bought you a box, you know? But that's what we're like sometimes. We got this amazing person that wants to have a relationship with us that isn't just about saving us, but He's about saving us throughout our life. He's into this. And He's great. And He calls on us to discard the old. Look at verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. So, if I'm seeking Him in faith, it's accompanied by repentance. It's not I'm seeking God and I'm calling God, but I'm getting rid of and asking Him, God, you've got to do something. And here's what's great about it. He's calling bad people to Himself. The assumption in these verses is He's okay. Now, this, I know some of you might, this might be hard. He's okay with the fact that us coming to Him, we come to Him bad. Please take that, receive that, take as much of that in as possible. Because there's so many lies. Oh, it just won't work unless you get it all worked out and then come to Him. He's saying, I want you in all your stinkiness. I want you like this. I'm really good at dealing with that. He offers forgiveness. He offers deliverance. And look how he paints it. He says, let the wicked forsake his way. So it's how we do things. It's our behavior. It's our actions. He's saying, bad person, which is all of us, I want you to forsake that. I want you to discard that. Not just our outward, because we would go, oh, I've done that. It's like the rich young ruler. I've done it all. You know, I didn't disobey any of your commandments. And then Jesus goes for his heart. It's all the things. You've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. And it's like, oh, I've never done that physically. But I say, and it's like, oh, great. Thanks for you saying. Let the wicked forsake his way, action, behavior, deeds, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, attitudes, decisions, thoughts. And he says, I want to do this. Look at this. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. He's saying, I want you to discard that. And by not doing that, you're like the guy who would do this. He's married, but he's started to have an affair. And he's moved out, and he's now living with his girlfriend. But at a certain point, he goes, I'm sick of this. This happens, by the way. This is what I've seen over the years. Because he thought that it was going to be amazing. And then ultimately he finds out, oh, she's interesting too. And he also, here's the problem that he brings. He brings him with him. He's the problem, okay? But it would be at a weak moment or at a time when, and he finally goes, honey, I want for this thing to work out. Let's get back together. And she says to him, have you moved out? Is it over? Well, no. But I still love you. Do you think she'd have a problem with this? Most of the women are going, the hymnals are about to fly, all right? But that's what that's like. That's what that's like if I go, I called for the gift, I've sought the gift, but I haven't discarded the old. I haven't said, I'm done. You're who I'm pursuing. And God says the same thing to you and me. Discard the old. This is the Old Testament pattern of salvation, illustrated perfectly in Luke 18:9-14. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves. Please take that in. Don't pass over that those words so quickly, because I think we do this. God, in just an amazing way, has provided all these options in our world. And so something bad happens and we're trying to get out of a mess, and we may not even pursue God, but something happens and we're able to get out of that mess for a little bit, and we're like, okay, I'm good. And God's saying, I want you to quit thinking like that. I want to be the one you pursue. I don't want you to look at all these avenues. I want to be the one you pursue. So it's me and you, okay? And what happens is many, we can all do this, trust in themselves. So let me read it again. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. By the way, sometimes I see the humor in some of these things. I could imagine that guy, seriously, I'm right here, you know. But that's how proud this person is. He's just so unaware. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing afar off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And this is our Savior's words. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. What a great gift for Christmas is to know we're forgiven, to know we're clean, to know we have a white Christmas. And that comes from not just desiring the gift, but saying, God, I want to discard the old. I want to put that aside. I don't want to be playing with wrapping paper anymore. I don't want to be playing with the box. I want to play. I want to live. I want to cherish the good gift. Point number three, delight in salvation. Delight in salvation. Look at verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. This verse and the next is a response to any questions that would potentially be asked to have this logical understanding of what's going on. Now, this is one of those verses that could go on a Christian artsy type thing. You could have a picture of a waterfall. You could have a picture of an eagle. You could have a picture, a nice scene. And that this verse in and of itself would be great. And there is truth to that. There are things that when we look at it, you know what? When we're hit by something that's hard, something that doesn't make sense, we go, well, you do know. His thoughts aren't our thoughts, and His ways aren't our ways. And that's true. But what have we been learning over the years as we've been working together through the Scriptures, and we look at a thing called hermeneutics, which is interpretation? A huge part of understanding a verse is to understand it in context. So look at the context. What did we just get done talking about? Or at least I got done talking about it, all right? It was talking about our thoughts being wicked. Our thoughts not being lining up with God's thoughts. And He comes immediately with this verse and says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." In context, here's what He's saying. He's saying, you don't naturally think like I think. But through a changed life, you begin to start thinking like I think. You actually begin, as you walk with God and as you desire the gift, you call, you seek, and you discard, you and Him start lining up. Your thoughts start to become His thoughts. You have a peace that passes understanding. It doesn't always happen. But let's face it, we're fallen. We carry the old man with us many times. We buy lies. But a person that is desiring to walk with God, and there's times where hard things are hitting them, things that others would look at and they'd go, I just don't know how they're handling it. And here's how they're handling it. God is buoying them. God is changing their mind. God is preparing them. God is making it so that, left to itself, look at verse 9. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You're right. They're up there. But I want to know, because I'm so into this relationship, I want you to mature. I want you to grow up. I want you to, as time goes by, I want you to have an understanding of my thoughts. I was watching a documentary recently, and in this documentary, it was weird. This guy had, there was a discussion going on in the family. He's older now. He's watching himself as a rebellious teenager. And his parents, he's saying, I don't want to do this. I don't want to graduate from school. I want to go and do this, and he's talking about all these things that, and he's got this look on his face like he's so angry. And while he is watching himself, you think how many times we could do this, you know, I don't know, if, you know, to go back in a time machine and just want to hit me, you know, it's like, you thought like that, you know. And at a certain point in the documentary, he goes, and my mom, she was so concerned about this, and he said this, my mom was right. Some of your parents are going, oh, that would be glory. Thank you. All right. But he said that looking at his face, he's looking at his teenage face. And in his mind, he's seeing the anger at his parents at this discussion. It was just funny watching it going on. And he looks at the camera now and he goes, you know what? My parents were right. Here's what I want for me. When I look at this passage of Scripture, I want to get to the point where I'm sitting at the table and I'm not childish. He knows there's going to be times I'm childlike, but I'm not childish and I want my way. This isn't working out the way I want it to. And God's going, my ways are not your ways. And after, as I'm sitting there, and He hasn't let me down. And maybe some of our problem is we think God has let us down. Why did He allow that to happen? And His ways are higher than ours. Wait, I don't get it. That tapestry, I'm seeing my side with all that yarn interacting. It looks gross. And on this side, He is creating something that's beautiful. But while I'm here, and I hate it. I don't like it. But I want, this is for me, I want to get to the point where I have an understanding that as I look at Him, I can almost see off His face a mirror that reflects what He's trying to do. It's not easy. And I can't force it. It comes through seeking and it comes through calling. But it also, God, I want to discard. I don't want that to be a reality in my life. I want You to be a reality. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than Your ways and my thoughts than Your thoughts. Psalm 23. Such a dear passage of Scripture in so many different ways to us. Remember that last verse, what it says? It says, surely goodness and mercy will follow. Excellent. Follow me. I like how Chuck Swindoll calls those the sheepdogs for the Christian, for the believer. Goodness and mercy. And they just follow you along, you know. But I want to even go a little deeper than that. That word follow. Follow sounds so passive. In the Hebrew, it actually is this. Pursue. Pursue. You ever on the highway and you watch somebody and you're driving along and you're let's say you're heading to Mid-Rivers Mall and you're going because you know you're going to be going through Forest Hill. And those of you that don't know, and some of you are like, what are you talking about? There's this section of land where there are people making lots of money in a municipality through that section. And it's always interesting when I see the Kansas plates and they're going 80, and I just smile. I'm like, they are going to get it. And then when they don't get pursued, I'm like, this is so wrong. I want to throw a rock at the car and go, get up. You know? But whenever you do see the pursuit and you're just watching this guy's going along and you see the lights go on, the pursuit, and you're like, this is so cool. And you want to speed up because you want to watch it. You want to be in that episode of Cops. You just want to, you know. Take your shirt off. No. Our Father. Because let's face it, there are times we are breaking the law. We're breaking the rules. We are out and the lights are on of our Heavenly Father and He is pursuing us. And it is the best thing for us. Goodness, here's what He pursues us with. Not law, goodness and mercy. This is our Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for the truth of the gospel that we were in need and You saw our need and You moved our direction. There's times, God, in the midst of our walk with You that we're like the children of Israel hundreds of years before Your Son came. We had pursued other gods. And You as our daddy won't allow that to go on. You want the best for us. And so You remind us to seek and to call and to discard. Not just actions, but attitudes. And then You don't just do that so that we're nice people, but that we're changed people and that Your thoughts we start to acquire through Christ the ability to think like You. So Father, would You help us this morning with that? And maybe somebody today needs a fresh start. So Father, would You do that work in their heart and their life? And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.